97.5 The Fanatic.
And we are back. 1 hour down. Two more to go. Short shift today. We're short shifting it. 3 hours today. I like the four, but we'll do the three. We'll get in and out. We'll have some fun the rest of the way talking about cheating. I know a lot of folks find it intriguing, and it happens all the time. It happens all the time, and you can kind of say, well, is that cheating? Is that cheating, or is this guy just kind of trying to get a little edge? You know, maybe a little Vaseline under the cap. John Smoltz, should we retract his Hall of Fame induction because he used a fingernail to scratch up a ball to help his curveball? Should we keep Tom Brady out of the Hall of Fame because he used soft balls that weren't 13 pounds of pressure? They were a little softer. You know, everyone's trying to get the edge. But this was ridiculous. This was ridiculous. And the thing is, they didn't need to. They're so talented. They didn't need to. I guarantee that did not help. Guarantee the trash can incidents did not help. It's hard to get that signal to the batter that quickly and to even decipher what the actual signal is. You got the batter thinking, you know, now what is he thinking? Where's this going to go? What if it got the signal wrong and I'm waiting on a fastball and he throws a changeup? Yeah, I don't think it helped that much, and I think it was incredibly stupid. But yeah, there's all kinds of cheating. George Brett with the pine tar. One of the greatest reactions I've ever seen when the ump called him out after the home run he hit. Oh, he went berserk. Just berserk. But anyway, I'm testing the value system of you folks out there. What do you value? I know everyone hates someone who gets arrested for domestic violence. I get all that. That's not cheating, but you want to lay the hammer down on these people. What about these guys? First of all, do you think the player should have been penalized? That's what Pete Rose's problem is. He's like, he didn't penalize one player, and they all cheated. They were all part of it. That's basically his stance. Is he a degenerate? Yeah, Pete's a degenerate. Of course he's a degenerate. Should that keep him out of the hall, though? Should that keep him out of the Hall of Fame? I think it's time. I think it's time to let Pete in. 30 years, he's done his penance. He served his time. But I don't think they're going to let him in anytime soon. I really don't. There's a big-time bias against Pete Rose. And as long as Pete's still betting on games, legally, of course, Rob Manfred said, that's not turning your life around. We don't consider that turning your life around. So, and Pete's not going to stop. You think he's going to stop? And how are we going to know if he stopped? Oh, I stopped. Yes, yeah, it's a credibility issue. He lied for 15 years about gambling on baseball. And we don't know exactly what he did. We don't know the egregiousness of it, if he bet against his team. See, if you bet against your team, now you're in a confidence game scandal. And that's no good. That's just no good. I mean, it was happening all the time in baseball back in the teens, in the 20s. It was happening all the time. Gangsters were getting to players. They were tanking games. I mean, you talk about a credibility problem that baseball had. The thing I love is that they were so anxious and interested and excited and really had a big desire to separate themselves from the gamblers or gambling, period. Major League Baseball was. They had to get that away from baseball, the gambling. Now, they're embracing it. It's what runs Major League Baseball. The gambling runs Major League Baseball, just like it runs the NFL. Now they're all on board with it. They're all on board with it. I know times have changed and the world's changed, but I just think it's, you know, a little hypocritical. But, you know, the span has been 100 years, so, you know, that's fine. But they had real issues back in the day. It wasn't just the Black Sox. A lot of folks were doing it. A lot of folks were doing it. Joe Jackson took $5,000. That's a lot of money back then. And apparently he duped the gamblers because he didn't take a playoff. So he says, if you look at his numbers, he hit .375, but did not perform well with runners in scoring position, hit a garbage home run, the only one of the series in game 8 when they were already finished. But .375. The man could hit. He must have quit. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Steve Callis coming up in a few minutes. We're going to talk cheating. We're going to talk a little Fly Guys as well. We don't get a chance to do that often, but a big, big rebound last night after that awful loss to the Devils on Thursday night at home. They just came out and owned the Caps. Caps didn't look that interested, to be honest. They didn't look that interested. The coach was giving it to them, too. Giving it to them. Caps have 77 points, second in the league behind the Bruins, who have 80. Caps will be fine.
Could you believe they left Holtby in for all 7 of those goals?
I agree. That was ridiculous. That was like Patrick Roy-esque, you know, leaving him in that long. And that was, had to get him out of there.
That's one where you look at your goaltender and you say, you're taking one on the chin today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. I thought that was excessive. And I love Braden Holtby, though. I love Braden Holtby. Stanley Cup winning goaltender. Good dude. Has been around for a while. Hasn't been able to get the Caps over the hump. They finally did a couple years ago. They spit up a chance to repeat with Tampa Bay going out in 4 games to the Blue Jackets. I mean, they totally spit that up. They had a 2-game-to-none lead over Carolina, and they lost in 7 games. I think they had a 3-1 lead as well, and a 2-0 lead in Game 7. The Hurricanes, 2-0 lead in Game 7 after all that, and they lose. They're done.
You know, we look at the Phillies, and obviously when they got their World Series in 2008, but we look back and we go, man, I feel like they should have got more than one World Series.
Oh, yeah, left rings on the table.
I wonder if Washington's going to look back if they only get one cup and say, with all those regular seasons, should have got more than one cup.
Oh, I absolutely think that. Oh, absolutely. I mean, they were winning President's Trophies and getting bounced. They couldn't get past the Penguins forever. The Penguins, there's just a thorn in their side. Would not allow the Caps to surpass them. Always some ridiculous goal, like, you know, late in the third and Crosby does something in overtime and just you know, they blow a 2-goal lead with a minute left, something like that. It was just awful. And, of course, we all are anti-Penguins fans, so that didn't work out too well for us. They got 5 cups now. Oof. 5 cups. We got 2.
That is one serious rivalry.
Yeah. Penguins are still good. They're always good. They got Malkin and Crosby. We'll see. They're not elite. They're not elite. I just like to see the Flyers make the playoffs, to be honest. Just get in, get a series or two in. You never know what could happen. We remember back to 2010. They were the 7 seed.
Yeah, and we talk about how the Sixers have failed to beat good teams on the road. Well, look at the Flyers. They've played 3 of the top 4 teams in the NHL on the road this season. They're 3-0. So they have at least given us evidence that they're capable of beating a good team on the road come playoff time.
Yeah, and that's a good stat, by the way. And the record against teams, the top 6 teams in the league, they're 8-2-2. They play, to the level of their competition, because losing 5-0 to the Devils, Josh Harris's squad at home, Devils are dreadful. Dreadful. And it wasn't a 2-1 loss. It wasn't a shootout loss, 3-2. They got drubbed, 5-0. So, big response by Le Flair last night. Big response. They are just a scooch out of the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. They're a tiebreaker out, actually. They're a tiebreaker out. Hey, as promised, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, my man. He's back. He's Steve Callis. What's up, Steven?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you.
You too, pal. We don't talk pucks too much, but I thought we'd just sprinkle in a little hockey today because the Flyers had a big bounce-back game last night, and I don't think they're completely ready for prime time, but it was a nice win after getting drubbed by the Devils 5-0 on Thursday night.
Yeah, awful up and down in the NHL, especially for teams like the Flyers. But my goodness, Couturier on that, his second goal.
That was silly.
Breakaway.
Yeah.
And what, it, you know, it's like a poster in the NBA almost, because it was so embarrassing on Holtby. And I think, was it Josh who said they should have taken Holtby out? Because that was embarrassing. The guy's a Stanley Cup winning goaltender. And on the one hand, you have this coach, Todd Reardon, screaming at his players, right? When
yeah.
it was like 4-1 or whatever it was, or 3-1. And on the other hand, he's leaving this guy in for 7 goals.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it was incredibly embarrassing. But, you know, this is what the Flyers can do. And you know, they're doing it without their top goalie, obviously. And you got to give Claude Giroux credit, not only his 800th point as a Flyer, but his 250th goal. And, you know, I'm sure he's fourth all-time. And, of course, Bobby Clarke is first all-time
sure.
as a Flyers.
Sure.
So, you know, that's an incredible win. But you're right. If we were talking 2 nights ago about it, would be, what's wrong with these guys? The Devils just shut them out.
Yeah, last place in the Eastern Conference. That's number 16, 20 and 24 and 10. Just, you know, that's ridiculous. Well, how do they get to be more consistent? I mean, they have, they're kids. There are a lot of young kids on the team. I think they
wow.
have 5 old heads and everyone else is 25 and under.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. And that's the new, to me anyway, that's the new NHL, the veteran presence. Isn't what it used to be, and there's only one way to get better, and that's to play these kids and hope they get more consistent before the end of the year. Hope they sneak into the playoffs, because you want to get a young team playoff experience, even if they get beat. And if you miss the playoffs, of course, you know, you just go home and you got to start up again next year. So I think it's important that a team like the Flyers get into the 7th or 8th, you know, first or second wild card, maybe top 3, which, as you said before, they have a chance to be in their division. But I think they need to make the playoffs, and the only way these young kids are going to get more consistent is to play more, and that's just a matter of experience. And as you know, you can't buy experience. You got to live it.
You got to live it. And you're right. Brian Elliott doing a nice job last night with Carter Hart still out with his injury. Let's talk a little Pete Rose, pal. Now, you wrote an awesome story on Joe Jackson and Pete Rose, and you can tell the folks where it came from in 1 second. But we're talking about reinstatement of Pete Rose. Obviously, he thought it was the right time in the wake of the scandals with Houston and the Red Sox, where not one player got penalized. Does he have a case, and do you think baseball will ever let up on Pete Rose?
Well, I think he definitely has a case. I don't think they're ever going to let up on him. And I just want to read one quote. And the article you referenced, if anybody Googles Westchester County Post and Pete Rose, they'll get to an area on westchestercountypost.com where you have to scroll down a ton of articles. You kind of go down, I'm sorry the way this is, but you got to go down like 7 or 8 articles. But you'll see Shoeless Joe and Pete Rose in the title of an article I wrote a while ago. This is even before all the Astros stuff that kind of goes into detail. But what I'd like to read is a quote. So there's a book by Kostya Kennedy, the Sports Illustrated writer, called Pete Rose, An American Dilemma. And don't laugh at me here. In the footnote on page 229, which I think is the most important thing in the whole book for me and Pete Rose and the Hall of Fame, the day that Pete Rose was banned for life, you'll remember Giamatti had a press conference, Pete Rose had a press conference, and I watched that on TV, and this part of it was not on TV, but in this footnote on page 229 on Pete Rose, An American Dilemma, they asked Giamatti at the press conference, does this affect Pete Rose's Hall of Fame chances? And here's what Giamatti said, and this is a quote within a quote. This is a quote from the book. When asked at the press conference announcing Rose's ban from baseball whether the expulsion would have bearing on the Hall of Fame, Giamatti had dismissed the idea, saying he saw no place for intervention, quote, you, he said, addressing the baseball writers in attendance, quote, will decide whether he belongs in the Hall of Fame. So here's the commissioner who dies 9 days later.
Yeah.
You know what went down, Joe. He died 9 days later. Faye Vincent was his number two and his good friend. He became commissioner. He blamed Pete Rose for the death of Giamatti. If you actually read this book, you'll see Giamatti was a physical mess at the time.
Oh, yeah, he totally was.
Right. I'm not saying he would have died 9 days later. Who knows? But he, you know, he was overweight and I think a smoker, and they go into it in great detail. So right there, I don't care what the argument anybody on the planet has. for Pete Rose not getting into the Hall of Fame as opposed to, you know, working in baseball again. It's very clear that Bart Giamatti, the guy who banned him for life under an agreement, said, no, 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 this has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. He doesn't have to reconfigure his life. He doesn't have to change anything. The writers had voted, and as you know, they put in this Pete Rose
rule. The Pete Rose rule, yeah.
They put it in because it was 5 years after Rose had retired, and he was going to get in that year.
Yeah.
And they didn't want him in. And there's a whole discussion of the meeting that they had that Gotcha Kennedy writes about, what a sham it was. Two sports writers that were there, there were only two sports writers and other people from the Hall of Fame in baseball. And both sports writers said this was a joke meeting. They just set it up because they didn't want Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. And here we are 30 years later, as you said. And I think he has a great case to get into the Hall of Fame. I don't care what the Astros did in terms of Pete Rose being reinstated into baseball. And believe me, I'm a big Pete Rose. You can put him back in, but he definitely should be in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And I suggest that book, if you're in a bookstore and you don't want to buy it, just go to page 229 of the hardcover edition. You can't believe it's like Faye Vincent forgot, and then Bud Selig forgot, and then Rob Manfred forgot. And I've written articles that say, if Bart Giamatti says Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, why won't fill in the blank? Faye Vincent, Bud Selig, and Rob Manfred. It's a total disgrace. Now, most people hate Pete Rose. He's a degenerate gambler, as you said. He went up to Cooperstown all those years and signed baseballs down the block from the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, that's disgusting. He lied and published a book, I Didn't Bet on Baseball. And then to make money, he said, yeah, I did bet on baseball.
So I wrote another book.
So I understand the negative view of Pete Rose, but just on the Hall of Fame, if the commissioner at the time said, you, the writers, have to do it, how did we become 30 years later, you, the writers, can't do it because we're not putting him on the ballot because he's ineligible? And after the fact, and this shafted Shoeless Joe as well, because he's on the permanently ineligible list, after the fact, Shoeless Joe can't get into the Hall of Fame. The joke is in the 40s, Shoeless Joe got a few votes for the Hall of Fame, like write-in votes. But, you know, Landis banned him for life. They were acquitted at trial. Now, the trial was kind of a joke, too, because the confessions all disappear.
Yeah, nice.
But I agree with what you said. In my opinion, Shoeless Joe did not throw the World Series. As you said, he took 5,000. He was supposed to get 20. If he got 20,000, maybe he would have hit 210 and made five errors. But as you said, he hit 375 and made no errors. I've read that 8 Men Out, the book by Elliot Asenoff, on which the movie was based. There's about 100 pages in there on the actual playing of the World Series. You go through that 100 pages, I've gone through it multiple times, and the only thing that they accuse Shoeless Joe Jackson of doing in the book is one time he played too shallow and the guy hit a double over his head. So you can't find, I understand what you're talking about, runners in scoring position, and you're correct, he hit a home run that was kind of meaningless, but Joe, he hit the only home run.
Yeah. No,
nobody else hit a home run. He had the highest average. He made no errors. I mean, so I think he took the five, and when he didn't get the rest, he did what people do. He double-crossed the double-crossers, and he played to his best ability. Another thing, that was the record. I forget if he had 12 or 13 hits in that World Series, but that was the record for the most hits in the World Series for like 30 or 40 years.
Oof.
And I read after the fact that there was also another hit that he got that was made an error after the fact, so he would have even had one more hit and hit like 400.
Wow.
So I don't think, and in the article at WestchesterCountyPost.com that I have, I went into the grand jury testimony of Shoeless Joe, and even though he was illiterate, he couldn't read, he couldn't write, to me he was very careful in how he said what he said in the grand jury. And how that got released all these years later, as you know, grand jury testimony is supposed to be sealed forever. But it got released. There's a book called Shoeless Joe and Ragtime Baseball that has the entire grand jury testimony. And I went through that. And in that article, I pulled out what I thought were important things to show that Shoeless Joe wasn't dumping, but the team was dumping. So to me, you can't ban the guy for life for taking 5,000 and then essentially, at least statistically, being the best player on the field. And again, if he had gotten 20, maybe it would have been different, but he didn't. So I still think he double-crossed the gamblers. Lived to tell about it, right? He lived to like 1951.
Yeah.
And you know, Babe Ruth said, this guy had the greatest swing ever. I patterned my swing after Joe Jackson's. His numbers are ridiculous. I tell you the great trivia question of all time. What did Shoeless Joe hit in 1920? And everybody goes, well, hold it now. 1919, he got banned for life. No, he played the whole year. He hit 382 in 1920, and all the White Sox got arrested in the last week of the season.
Right.
Because they thought the White Sox were going to win the pennant again.
Right. Isn't that incredible?
So when you look at this history, it's just, you shake your head, but Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Shoeless Joe should be in the Hall of Fame. You know there's already PED guys in the Hall of Fame. We may not know who they are, but they're in there.
Of course.
And you got Clemens and Bonds. You know, I would certainly make a case for Bonds to be in the Hall of Fame if he dropped dead the first time he took a steroid. He was the three-time MVP at that time, and everybody with three MVPs is in the Hall of Fame. He went on to win like four more or something, and, you know, to me that's a joke. But he was a Hall of Famer before he ever took a steroid. Sure. Clemens, I'm not as sure. Game of Shadows, you know exactly when he started if you read that book, the paperback edition, best researched sports book I've ever seen. And maybe Clemens, if he took it when he left Boston, when he was washed up at 30, remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know if he had done enough. He won back-to-back Cy Youngs the 2 years he left and went up to Toronto. I don't know if he did enough, assuming you know when. With Bonds, you know, McGuire and Sosa, he was jealous. He was mad. I'm better than these guys. So he did what they did and more, and look what he became, one of the two or three greatest players of all time. But I discount that. He's not the home run champ to me. Henry Aaron is. All those guys who beat Roger Maris and Babe Ruth, they did it with steroids, so they're not the champions, whether they hit 66 or 70 or 73. To me, they're just not. And you're right about the asterisk, but I'll just disagree with you on the Astros thing. I think they should vacate that World Series because there should be no winner. You can't put the Dodgers up like the LA Council wants. But I think really, you know, that title should be vacated. Yeah, you saw them win. But you saw him when, you know, they interviewed A.J. Hinch and Verducci asked him, so was that tainted? Not should it be vacated, was it tainted? And he gave a 3-minute answer where it really didn't answer. Oh, I don't know, it's for other people to decide, I'm not sure. Get out of here, of course it was tainted. But as you said, I thought he was just, you know, interviewing for his next job.
Yeah.
But he might get in a year, you never know. It would be strange to me because he knew exactly what was going on.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Steve Collis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Brother, we appreciate all your information. We can catch that article on WestchesterCountyPost.com. Just Google that. And Pete Rose, good stuff out of you. And before we go, you and I always laugh about this, but the answer to a trivia question, what's the Philadelphia connection with the Cincinnati Reds in that series? It was that Greasy Neal. Greasy Neal, former championship winning coach of the Eagles, played for that team. I mean, that's
not only did he play for them, he had 357 in the World Series for the Cincinnati Reds.
That's,
I mean, you got that. You tell that to your audience, and that's like the greatest statistic that nobody knows anywhere. Who knows that stuff?
That's unbelievable because that's quite a resume. Oh, I'm going to play baseball over here, and then I'm going to coach this team to a couple championships. And wow, outstanding stuff. Hey, brother, great stuff as usual. Enjoy your day, and we always appreciate you coming on, pal.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too, Steve. Steve Collis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Boy, he laid it out there. He laid it out there. My question is, what does Pete Rose have to do to get into the Hall of Fame? Right now, they're using the excuse that he still gambles. And he's got to clean that up, turn his life around. Forget the term they used to turn your game around. He's a degenerate. You know, I don't know if it'll ever change. And he has a credibility problem. But is that, are they using that as an excuse to keep him out? And where does all the hatred come from? He's not a very likable guy, despite what he says. He says he's a hell of a guy. Where does it come from? Is it because he lied for 15 years and they're punishing him for that? I think a lot of that stems from that. You know, I think it was Faye Vincent was on that piece I watched on ESPN, and he said that the truth was his friend. If he only told the truth right up front, he'd be in the Hall of Fame today. 15 years that we lied, and it came out in his book. He wrote 2 books. 1, I never cheated. 2, oh yeah, I did. I did cheat. Phenomenal stuff. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on Pete Rose? Will he ever get into the Hall of Fame, and does he deserve it? I'm Joe Stajak, Herald Noon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. 10:30 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. This weekend hour is delivered by Papa John's. New papadillas, hand-folded in four flavors for just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. Papa John's. We talked about the Black Sox scandal. Greasy, I think that's just an unbelievable career Greasy Neal had. He coached the Eagles to two championship league championship wins, and he played for the Reds for like 4 years. He also played for the Phillies, had a cup of coffee with the Phillies. Pretty talented guy, that Greasy Neal. There was also a guy connected. My old hockey coach tipped me off to this, Bob Anderson. He just texted me. Abe Attell, a six consecutive championships as the world featherweight champion. He was from Philadelphia, and he was said to be a friend of Arnold Rothstein, the guy who kind of engineered the whole fix. And he was arrested. He was charged with game fixing in the Black Sox scandal, but the charges were dismissed before the trial. He was also suspected of other infractions, including fixing fights and using drugs during a fight. This guy's all right. He's on the level. Abe Attell, ladies and gentlemen. What a mess. It was a mess back then. It was a mess. You got Capone in the mix, Arnold Rothstein, and then the Black Sox. I think Buck Weaver was another one who said, "I didn't dump a play. I didn't make an error." Because in the movie, John Cusack, he jumps up in court and starts. He said he hit like 352, but he also got whacked because Commissioner Kennesaw, retro. Because he put the rule in a year afterwards. They played another year before they got arrested. The White Sox did, the Black Sox. So the commissioner said anyone who takes money, dumps a game, blah, 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 or is in the room and knows about it and doesn't immediately report it to his, you know, direct reports, will also be banned for life. And that was Buck Weaver, or at least he says. At least that's what he says. Says he didn't take a nickel either. See, with Joe Jackson, he might not have dumped the play, but he took $5,000. He took $5,000. And I love how the gangsters double-crossed the players. But when the players tried to double-cross the gangsters, they got, you know, their death threats. Lefty Williams' wife. And they were getting death threats, and it was, yeah, just a mess. Just a mess. 610-632-0975. So you had Shoeless Joe Jackson, Eddie Seacott, he's one of the pitchers, along with Lefty Williams, Chick Gandel, the first baseman, Swede Risberg. I mentioned Buck Weaver, third base, Happy Felch, and Fred McMullen were the eight Black Sox banned for life, along with Pete Rose, right now banned for life. And I want to know what it's going to take to get Pete in. Like, what does he have to do? I guess stop gambling. And then what? How's anyone going to know that he actually stopped gambling? Because that's the excuse that they're using. It's a pretty good excuse, because you can always say, well, we don't know you stopped. We don't know you've turned your life around. 30 years later, and they're still on him. I want to know where all the hatred came from. Because I don't know when he's going to get in, but not anytime soon, in my opinion. Not anytime soon. You know, the commissioners and the higher-ups, they live to keep Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame. They live for it. Quite a player, though. Quite a player. Busted at every play. All-time leader in games. All-time leader in hits. All-time leader in singles. All-time leader in at-bats. He had over 14,000 at-bats. Won a championship for us in Philadelphia. How come there's no love for Pete in here? No one's chiming in and back in Pete. Remember what Pete did in 1980? He got the team over the hump. Caught the ball that Booney dropped. Anyone remember that? Pete Rose, number 14, first baseman? No? Anybody? He was an integral part of the Phillies winning that World Series that year. That was the piece. He was the piece they needed to get over the top. That team was loaded. My goodness gracious. Boa, Schmidt, Pete Rose, Carlton, Tug McGraw, Luzinski, Bake McBride. That team was loaded top to bottom. There's a team that may have left some rings on the table as well. They couldn't get in the late 70s. They lost three straight NLCSs to one to the Reds and two to the Dodgers. That Reds won, the big red machine. Pete Rose was on that team. And took a year off. The Pirates won the World Series in 79, coming back from 3-1 on the Orioles. And then the Phillies win their championship. They did get back to the World Series in 1983, but they lost to Cal Ripken and the Orioles 4-1. They won the first game. There were two solo shots. I think Joe Morgan hit one, and I can't remember who else hit a home run. Bake McBride, maybe. They won 2-1, and then they collapsed after that. It was a collapse. I mean, guys were tripping over themselves and falling down, trying to tag up from third to home. It was just a mess, and the Orioles won that World Series, and Phillies were never to be heard again for a while. It took them another 10 years to get in the World Series, that 93 team, who is revered. I still don't get why they're that revered. They didn't win anything. They didn't win. They came in second. You know, there were talks that we should have had a parade for them. For what? Listen, it was an entertaining year. God bless them. They were all over the hill and all had career years. A surly bunch, but who cares? They were good. A team was good, but they fell short. So why do we revere that team as much? Maybe because they hadn't won a World Series since 1980. Now they have one in 2008. It's nice to look back on that team. It was fun. It was a whole lot of fun. They didn't win, guys. It's like having a parade for the 49ers. Yeah, we had a 10-point lead with 7 minutes left. That's good enough. That's good. That's all good. Let's have a parade for the 49ers. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I know there were some beloved guys on that team. But that team was made up of, I don't want to call them criminals, but they certainly had that vibe, that criminal vibe. Dave Hollins, Curt Schilling, he was always a jerk. Lenny Dykstra speaks for himself. That team was Petey and Cavilia. That was a nasty team. You go into that locker room. I used to go in that locker room. I was like scared as hell. First of all, I got kicked out all the time because I'd be waiting for someone and they wouldn't let me wait in the locker room. I had to wait outside. Well, how am I going to know if a guy's available if I'm outside? And we finally get like Curt Schilling and he's pitching tomorrow night. And I need some sound about, you know, pregame and what he's looking to do tomorrow night and blah, blah, blah. How's his shoulder? How's his arm? And he would give me like two-word sound bites. He'd give me two words. He was a total jerk, Curt Schilling. However, if I needed one pitcher to win me a game, to take home the whole shebang, Curt Schilling's one of my guys. I put him on the hill. I'll put him on the hill against anybody in a title game. Curt Schilling, tremendous. Just a tremendously clutch pitcher. Total jerk, but tremendously clutch. After they lost that slogfest game to the Blue Jays in game 4, where they had a 6-run lead in the 8th inning and lost, and then went down 3-1, he pitches a 5-hitter the next game. Pitches a 5-hitter. They won. They shut out the Blue Jays. I forget the final score, but yeah. He was unbelievably clutch. Did it for the Diamondbacks. Did it for the Sox. Nice job by Curt Schilling and that 93 team. Yay, we came in second. Yay. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. What's it going to take for Pete Rose to get into the Hall of Fame? And do you want him in the Hall of Fame? I'm Joe Stasek. I'm here till noon. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back, folks. Joe Stazag in the house till noon. Rob Motti at that time. He'll take you till 3 o'clock in the D-line, and we'll lead you into Sixers and Bulls basketball. Sixers trying to tack on another win to the big win they had the other night over the Grizzlies after coming off a four-game skid on the road, including a loss to the Atlanta Hawks. They lost, let me, off the top of my head, they lost by 10 to the Hawks, 31 to the Heat, 21 to the Celtics, and what'd they lose? 11 to the Bucks. It was a bad series. Bad series of games for the 76ers. Looking to bounce back, 32 and 21. This year so far, they are on the road just 9-19. That's their problem. Flyers, big win last night. They're 30-18-7 right now. They're just a scooch out of the second wild card spot and just a scooch out of third place in the Metropolitan Division. Real big win last night for Les Flyers over the Caps. They're undefeated against the Caps this year, 2-0-1, and also against the top six teams in the league this year. They're 8-2-2, so they certainly can play big in big games. And they're young. Everyone's like 25 and below. They have a few old heads, but most of them are young. We talked a little Eagles earlier today. We sprinkled in some Eagles, so we got the four. We went around the horn. My question is this. Which one of the four teams that we just talked about is most feared or respected by their opponents? Which team is most feared or respected by their opponents? And if not, how do these teams become feared from where they are now? How do they instill fear in their opponents? Who's the most feared team? Is anybody feared in this town? The Eagles, maybe? And they're coming off a rough season, 9-8, including that playoff loss. Three straight trips to the playoffs, but I don't think they're feared by anybody. Flyers, certainly not. Sixers? People outside of this town still think the Sixers are going to make that run to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe the Finals. They're in fifth place right now, a game ahead of the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference. Are they feared at all? Philly's certainly not. Finished under 500 last year. I'm going to go 87 wins this year. 87 wins. Joe Girardi's good for about 5 wins this year. Whereas Gabe Kapler was responsible for about 10 losses last year. Josh, your Phillies this year. What are your thoughts on fighting Phils and where are they going to end up? How much will they be improved?
I think they're going to be a few games improved, but unfortunately, because you're going to have to get some bullpen arms back, which you lost during the season last year. So the bullpen's going to at least start off healthier than where it was essentially left off. I still think they need more arms. I don't like the rotation where it's at right now.
Don't either.
I don't think the addition of Wheeler was a fix-all. And
no, not even close.
And I look at Arrieta, and I still think, man, if Arrieta is one of your top three pitchers, I don't think that rotation's in good shape.
It's not in good shape. Might be a little bit improved from last year with Zach Wheeler, but still, they didn't do a ton in free agency. And we know, it's documented, that they don't have a lot of guys coming up through the minors like a talent fest like the Braves have, like Houston has had.
And the bats were good, but I mean, think about the past two seasons when essentially Aaron Nola loses, you're searching through the schedule for a win.
Right.
And now adding Zach Wheeler is, it's a good piece. I like him being added there, but does that solve all our problems? I don't think so.
No, they have some problems. They're going to have problems pitching again this year, unfortunately. Couldn't buck up for Gerrit Cole, I guess. The Yankees just, they do whatever they want to do. They do whatever they want to do. The Yankees are amazing. Of course, they've only won one World Series since 2002. They won it, obviously, against the Phillies in 2009. But it tells you that a big-time payroll doesn't always equate to championships. They've spent a lot of money over the last 20 years and have one ring to show for it. Just one. They also have a good farm system. Guys coming up through the minors. Aaron Judge, obviously a stud. How do they get guys like that? How come the Phillies don't have a guy like that? This guy who came up through the minors, who anyone feared, was probably Ryan Howard. Had 58 home runs that year. Had four straight seasons with 40 or more when he was hot. That's about it. I know they had Jimmy. He was in the system. Chase Utley was in the system. But in terms of a guy who was a feared, you don't want to pitch to him. You want to pitch around him. It would probably be Ryan Howard, I would think. But the question is, of the four professional sports teams, who's feared the most? You can't say none of them are feared. Who's feared the most is the question. Who's feared the most? Joshy, you got an answer for me on that?
I'm going to have to go with the Flyers. If you asked me before the season, I would say without a doubt the Sixers. Without a doubt, yeah. The Sixers. Unfortunately, they're going to be in a situation where they're going to have to win road games in the playoffs, and they've proven to us that they can't do it right now, at least with the way the pieces are assembled. The Flyers, I've at least seen them go in there and beat good teams. And think about some of the teams that they give the toughest matchups for at times. The Penguins, I know the Penguins blew them out in the first matchup, but the last two times the Flyers shut out the Penguins, and then they went to the Penguins barn after the All-Star break, and it went into overtime.
Yeah, lost.
Tough matchup. And you know the Caps don't want to play the Flyers, so there's a lot of... The Bruins don't want to play the Flyers as well.
Sure.
There's upper echelon teams in the East that do not want to see the Flyers make the playoffs.
Interesting. Very interesting. And they have good goaltending, too, this year. And that was not a shootout win. Crosby scored from the right wing, which Giroux played on last night. He's much better from that side. He likes playing that side a lot more than he likes playing center. He's a left-handed shot coming down the right wing, and I think they should keep him there. 800 points. He had his 800th last night on a goal. He had two goals and an assist. Sean Couturier had two goals. That breakaway was silly. He made Holtby look silly on that breakaway. Completely silly. 610-632-0975. Drew in Pennsburg on 97.5. What's up, Drew?
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off, the most feared team in Philly right now. And I think it's a toss-up between the Eagles and Flyers. And here's my, why I think that.
Sure.
Eagles, I think, because people do understand how much of a weapon Carson Wentz is.
Right.
And when you have that quarterback, you're feared no matter what.
I agree.
And with also, with Doug Peterson, too, because, go for it on fourth down. He's
aggressive, and he's taken the team to three straight playoffs without Carson Wentz, basically.
Exactly. So, you got to be feared by, him as well. And I want to see the Flyers, too, just because, they're winning, without really skilled guys. They're winning, playing dirty, the dirty goals.
Dirty. They do score dirty goals.
Last night,
not so much. Last night, the goals were sweet, but you're right. You're right about that. They're skilled. They don't have a lot of skill guys.
No, like you said about Couturier. He made Holtby look like he was a rookie.
That was great. Oh my God, that was great. And yeah, Holtby's a good goaltender too.
Oh yeah, he's in the top five in the league.
Yeah,
but I'm leaning more towards the Flyers actually, just because people they're unpredictable. But what is it with these Philly teams that playing down to the comp, getting smoked by the Devils, who's second to the last team in the Eastern Conference
right now? Right now, they're last.
Yeah, and then blowing out the, you know, the best team almost in the East. It's these Philly teams playing down their competition. Like, only if they could beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, like, all four of these teams could be feared. Except the Phillies, I mean, because outside of, you know, 1-2, I mean, you're counting on injured guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. And with touching on the Phillies before I let you go, and thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
It's, you know, you would think Klentak would be pushing to getting, you know, even Chris Bryant or, you know, more pitching in here, because if they don't get in the playoffs this year, it's his head that's on the line. So you would think you'd be like, no, I need these guys. No, I'm trading these guys for this guy. It's just the aggression is not there. And then you look at how's Bryce Harper feeling when he was told, we're going to do what it takes to, you know, get my trophy back. And then, you know, they're sitting back and not wanting to go over luxury taxes. If you go over, you'd be paying $3 million. Like, it's so frustrating with the Phillies, but, yeah, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Again, thank
you. Drew, you too, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, Chris Bryant, don't count on him coming here anytime soon. He's not a lead anymore. He's a very good player. Very good player. He'll give you a lot of things, but one, he wants like $225 million. A contract worth about that much. And I don't think he's worth that much anymore. 32 years old. Still very good. Don't get me wrong, but not quite elite. And if they tried to make a trade, I mean, who are you trading for Chris Bryant? Who are the Cubs going to want? Who do the Phillies have that they can, you know, dangle? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, don't count on Chris Bryant coming here anytime soon, unfortunately, because they did not do a whole lot in the free agent market outside of Zach Wheeler. So I don't know how much better they're going to be than last year. I think the manager will maybe improve them 5 or 6 games. Like I mentioned earlier, Gabe might have been responsible for like 10 losses last year. And he's the manager of the Giants now. How about that? You can lose, you can fail in this league in your first try and then get another gig. He must be great in the interview room. Must be great in the interview room. He's got a sweet gig out in San Fran right now after getting run out of town here in his second year. 610-632-0975. The most feared team of the four majors in this town. The most. And you can't say none of them are feared. Who is the most feared team in this town? What do they have to do to become a team where their opponents will fear them, will fear coming into, you know, this building or this barn in Philadelphia? 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazak. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.